Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? That's the question. We're the salt of the earth, but if the salt's no good, then...
You're starting in 13.
Oh.
13 to 6.
Well, thank you. Let me make that correction. It's Matthew 13. I knew you were good for something, Sandra. All right. There you go. All right, keep me straight. All right. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. But ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I love this. It's one of my favorite verses. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, so, as has been our approach, let's look at this from the natural to find out why Jesus is using it for a spiritual revelation. All right, so my question, he's talking about salt. What is salt? I've got it on the screen there.
It's for preserving.
It preserves food. It makes things more seasonable. I went to Chappie's and got some grits the other day and ate them. And I'm like, ooh, this is missing something.
Yeah.
Need a little salt. Some salt. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It makes your food cook better.
I didn't know that. I don't cook. So I don't know.
She told me that.
All right.
He's mad about that.
It attracts deer, which attracts good meat. All right.
That's true.
All right. There you go. All right. So, so we got salt's been used in the Bible. Oh, old girl got turned into a pillar of salt.
To
let you know as a preservative. To preserve you and keep you from looking back at some things that you should let go. Amen. He could have turned her into anything he wanted to turn her into, but he turned her into a pillar of salt. All right. So everybody that comes by here can remember, I don't need to be looking back at that.
Egypt.
Amen. Okay. Egypt. So I was gone. Got the parable. Egypt. All right. There you go. All right. So it's a preservative. Now, back in those days, did a little research on this. Back in those days, salt was like, it was valuable. In fact, in some instances, it was currency.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. You got a salt packet. You rich.
Well, you got to look at it. Where would we go get salt right now?
And salt is still. I know people have high blood pressure, but salt is still important. It's still, a preservative. So back then, when you're looking at what they're talking about back then, he's talking to those people. He's meeting them where they are. They knew the importance of salt. Mm-hmm. All right? Salt was very important. All right. So, got some notes here. So what is Jesus saying about us as believers if he compares us to salt? We are considerably valuable. Salt back then was precious. It had a purpose. It preserved. It makes things taste better, even today. He said that we are like salt. And if salt was valuable back then, and if salt preserves today like it did back then, and if salt makes things better like it does today, then we are valuable today because we're like salt. Amen. All right. If we're valuable like salt, and salt preserves, and salt makes things taste better, salt makes things easier to swallow.
I'm coming with it.
I'm about to pull my hanky out. mm. Then what is the expectation from this parable in the natural that we're supposed to do as believers? What is the expectation that Jesus has for us as believers as salt today, if that's what salt was to them yesterday? Talk to me.
So we as believers.
We as believers.
Tell the good news.
Tell the good news. Amen. All right.
In the way that we have been seasoned.
Woo!
Yes!
Just the way that God has seasoned us, we season others. Alright, so the message in the salt is a preservative that keeps people from going off the deep end. Alright, it preserves, it extends life, it keeps things from spoiling.
We're an influence.
We're an influence.
Right.
That preserves and makes things taste better. What are you going to say, Sandra?
I was just going to say, this is the first time I get true understanding of the word salt in the Bible. I have never been able to understand what it meant.
Well, praise the Lord, Sandra. You're welcome. And Al, say something mean and nasty about me so I can get humble again, because she just pumped my head up a little bit.
Come back.
I'll tell you this. A lot of times when you go to the doctor, you have a tooth pulled, you always tell you rinse your mouth off with salt.
Because salt is a healer. Oh, come on, Al. That humbled me, because if God gave you that, then I know.
Well, you got to do is if you go up to the beach, you get in salt water.
Right.
You got to cut or anything, it's
going to
heal.
Look at this.
It helps you breathe, too, when you go to the
ocean. Are you kidding me?
I'm serious.
When you go to the ocean?
Yes, sir. The salt gets in your
air.
The salt air. Well, being that I don't do water sports, I don't know anything about that.
So it's good.
Oh, wait. Salt water also kind of buoyant.
It floats you.
It
keeps you from sinking.
See? What was that place we went to?
When you have a mouth infection or a tooth infection, you're supposed to rinse with warm water.
The Dead Sea.
You don't know how to swim there. You don't.
So salt helps you float.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to update my notes. All right. So now you know from the natural what salt is, and he compares us to salt. Now you know what we're supposed to be doing as believers. We're supposed to be, thank you, Sandra, we're supposed to be spreading that net, putting that word out there. How he seasoned us, we should be seasoning others so that, one, they're preserved, two, they don't drown, three, they make that this life can taste a little better, go down a little bit easier because the word of God might be kind of tough, and we season it so that they can understand. Thank you.
Can heal wounds.
Yes.
We have.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we know somebody who's got wounds and they're broken and they need healing?
Yes.
We are salt. We are the ones that can give them something to let them know how to bind the wounds and help them keep from drowning under whatever they're going through. That is our role. We are disciples of Christ. He commissioned us to go out and give that good word, and we just need to be dropping that salt. And if we don't know the word well enough, like we did in the household, if we don't know the word well enough to do that, we know somebody who sells salt. We can get them to the store.
Yeah.
That is the role of us as Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Great. Now, he says, if the salt has lost its savior, then it ain't no good. Uh-oh.
If
ouch.
If we don't have influence, then we're of no use to God.
If you're not doing the purpose of what salt is supposed to do, then why are you hanging around?
Right.
Because anybody wants salt that's already been licked and used up and ain't got no strength in it?
No.
No. I can't use it. God is almost saying, if I, good gracious,
yeah.
if I commission you to be salt, and you can't do what salt is supposed to do, then what good are you?
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but I think he's talking about if you're salt and you start getting impurities in you.
That too.
If you're walling around in the dirt.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Hold up. Slow down. Slow down, Roger. Slow down. Slow down. Wait a minute.
No. Slow down. That's impurities. Yes.
Yellow light.
No.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to add class note. Salt also can be useless if it becomes impure.
Hanging out in the world.
Well, what
is that? What
is that? I just remember that name.
Johnny.
Yes.
Johnny Zip. Zip is a lounge. You should put it there.
Oh,
Johnny Zip Lounge. Hanging out of Johnny Zip Lounge.
All right. So I'm typing here. It can have impurities from the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Johnny,
that's good.
I like that.
There's a sentence in my notes that says, just as seasoning brings out the best flavor of food.
Yes.
It can bring out the best in a food.
Yeah.
Through the gospel.
Right.
Yeah. So we all have something we need to be doing. But here's what he says here. I'm going to go back to the scripture. But if the salt has lost its savor, how shall things be salted? How will the world be preserved, kept from drowning, kept from looking back at the past and moving forward to the future? How can people be healed if we're not doing what salt does?
Without the influence
of Christians. Yes, thank you. Without the influence of Christians, the healing is not there. And we're missing out on doing what God asks us to do. Now, so I got, if it's lost its strength and its flavor, it can't do what it was meant to do. How does salt lose? Well, Roger just told you. If we let the impurities come in, if we let the cares of the world come in, then we've lost our ability to do what God has commissioned us and called us to do.
Stay in the world.
But the good news.
What's the good news?
It can be cleansed.
Right.
Can you actually clean salt?
Oh, the Holy Spirit can.
Okay, there you go. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. He can't, but the Holy Spirit can.
So, and he says, if you're not going to do what you were meant and designed to do, commissioned to do, then it's like Jesus walking over to the fig tree. I'm expecting some figs out of this thing. Oh, you ain't? Okay. And he cursed the tree. Or you got another year. And I'm going to come back here next year. If you ain't got any figs on this thing next year, you out of here. Okay. Yeah, you told that to your azalea bush.
Yes,
you got one more year.
Like
yeah, I told that to my daughter who came back to the house and wasn't paying no rent. And you got one more. You got money. All right. Yeah. And she blew them too with her husband out of my house. But anyway. All right.
Chuck.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you read verse 13 again from the? From the King James?
Yes, I can.
Just up to the first comma.
Yeah, the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor.
His savor.
Ah.
His savor.
Okay, I like, good point. All right. So, we got something that we need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're preservatives. Mm-hmm. All right. I got some highlights here. The application is clear now that we have a role as believers. We are equipped through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Roger. We are equipped through the Holy Spirit and purpose to help to preserve and improve others. Okay? If we do not fulfill this role, then we will be found to be ineffective as Christians. There's another parable on the horizon, and it's the parable of the talents. And you know what happened to the person with the talent that did not invest in others.
Right.
He took it away.
That's right.
And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? I don't want us to be weeping and gnashing our teeth because we missed the mark of God. I didn't say necessarily you lose your salvation, because he keeps, you know, salvation.
You don't
you know,
lose that.
Don't lose that. But you will be.
You'll miss out on.
And that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
There'll be, yeah.
All right. Okay. Verse 14.
Well, hang on a second, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Look how it ends. It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of man.
Wow.
Which means. Nosedive.
You know, it's interesting. Oh my gosh, do I dare do this? Let's do this. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to get off this. Let's look at what Roger just said in the natural.
He said, if
the salt is no good, he said, look at the last part of that verse. If the salt is no good, then it's just trampled on by man. It's no good for anything than just to be trampled on by man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it will be.
Also, they've created false preservatives now. You know, impure preservatives.
Okay. Oh, I like that. That's a good point. Yeah. I'm talking about Morton. I'm talking about the one with the little girl with the umbrella. I'm talking about the real stuff now. Yeah. You know, yeah, the good stuff. Yeah.
That's old salt.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, sea salt, I take it. Well, you know what? That's the old and the new. That's the old and the new. You know, they got the sea salt now. Okay. Yeah. Amen. You know. Think about this. As Christians, sometimes we just want to be quiet. Man, I just need to be quiet. Getting too crazy out there. Just be quiet. And sometimes when we're quiet, you mean we're going to get trampled on anyway?
Is it already
happened?
Yeah.
Wait. I don't want to stir any waves.
Okay.
So I'm just going to chill. Be quiet. And maybe some of them just pass me by, go away. Yeah, just go away. Just go away. No?
No.
We still going to get trampled on? So what we're trying to avoid in offending somebody,
it's
going to happen anyway.
Right.
So the best thing for us to do is speak up. Okay, wait. But we got to make sure we speak up.
Right,
and love. Don't miss the first parable.
Right.
Because some folk, like Roger said, you got some crazy salt out there.
Yeah.
It ain't doing what salt's supposed to do. Yeah. It makes stuff taste bad. People can't swallow it. They go, what are you talking about? This crazy stuff. I can't swallow that. Or you're not preserving them. You're not helping them. You got to meet them where you are. Wait a minute. If you got some meat back in the day, and you want to keep it from spoiling. Wait a minute. Do you put the salt on it, or do you put the meat on the salt? You put the salt on the meat, which means you got
to
bring the salt
to the meat.
If the meat, ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. If the meat is on the counter, if the meat is on that table, and the salt is on this table, do you bring the meat to the salt, or do you bring the salt to the meat?
Salt to the meat.
Well, it could be either way.
It could be either way.
Yeah.
All right. But you're going to have to meet the meat where it is.
Well, I always bring my salt to the meat.
You always bring your salt to the meat. So you meet the salt where it is. All right.
It's not important.
It's important.
together.
Yeah, it's bad. but it's the important thing that the salt comes together with the meat. But you got to make sure that you meet the meat where the meat is. All right? Or,
the salt is lighter than
so that. If the people are crazy and you're trying to bring the salt to the crazy people, you got to meet the crazy people where the crazy people are. If they're at level one, you have to bring the salt to level one. You can't bring level four salt to level one meat.
Sometimes they completely reject the salt.
Well, if they reject the salt, that's fine. That's fine. We've done our part. Hey, you know, when I stand before God and God says, did you bring salt to him? I brought salt, but he didn't take it. You know how crazy he is. All right, there you go.
I have a customer that's a complete atheist.
Okay, we'll bring him some salt. Meet him where he is. Yep. Yeah.
Hey. Too much salt is bad.
Too much salt is bad.
But one time,
I heard you, Matt.
Into politics.
Yeah.
But every time I walk in the house, I mean, stuff but politics, she attacks me. Okay?
Yeah.
And so one day I took it, you know, I don't gave her the gospel before.
Right.
So this time I took it, I was fed up. You know, I didn't want to talk about it.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to be, you know, just going every night. So I got to be out there with everybody, you know, with everything, you know. But I know with the salt, that's the reason she had attacked me. So she knows that I would do anything for her, even right. though I don't want to.
Okay.
Related.
That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost.
Well, I wouldn't do that Holy Ghost with me. But I knew I would do anything for her. And I told her that before. She lives out in Deer Creek. Mm-hmm. But, and she's 80-something years old. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she completely attacks me every time I go there. Mm-hmm. But she knows. Yeah, she knows because I am the salt.
Right.
So she don't like what, I mean, she likes what's in me, but then she don't.
It is just like the parable, and I'm encouraged, it's just like the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower is not penalized because somebody didn't get it. Our role is to keep throwing it out there in love.
The spirit in her is going to reject the spirit that's in Jimmy. She doesn't like it.
She doesn't like it, kind of, but she will admit it because I took a walk out her one time, I got tired of it. And I said, this is it. And I walked out of the house. So she calls the office and talks to Susan, begging me to come back.
Because mm-hmm. she know that. Okay, anyway, I'm going to keep going.
Let's not be in Jesus.
All right, it is 10:32.
Okay. So you're walking
down
there?
Yeah. It is 10:32. We are out of time, but I'm going to, let's make sure, remember, we are finishing up at verse 14, because it gives us another example. Yeah, the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We will analyze this next week if Jesus tarries, because just as we analyze the nature of salt in the natural, and then understanding that in the spiritual, you get an even greater understanding of light and what it does and what our role is as light and what God wants to do and how he wants to elevate. I'm almost giving the lesson already. And he wants to elevate us from that light perspective. It is great. It'll make you feel better about yourself and what we're called to do. All right. So we'll look at the light later.
We'll
have
more light next week. That
when
they might save
the time. Oh, we're ending on a good spot. Yes. We're going to have more light. Well, it's really less light because the days are shorter. But yeah. But yeah, because I wake up in the morning and it's dark all the time. I want to wake up. Yeah, it makes I oversleep sometimes. Yeah. Any thoughts or comments about the lesson? This is going to be challenging because at the end of this, I'm going to be asking some questions about how salty you are.
It's
the facts. This is just the facts. Dragnet. Oh, I got it. I just took me a little while, but yeah. All right. I got it.